hardly wait till next Sunday. My Lord. Holding my Savior's hand. I suppose that's leading into a theme that we need to be following. And I plan to follow over the next few months in my messages. A relationship with the God of the universe. So much of what we do is based on the relationship that God wants to have with us. He's gone through so much to make that relationship work. All we have to do is embrace it and accept it because he's done everything. There was a time when we were so far out that we couldn't have the relationship, but he sent Jesus to pay for the sins that separated us from him. Because he wanted a special, beautiful relationship with us. From that sixth chapter of Ephesians that was read earlier, I'm going to read just a few verses, beginning with that 10th verse. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I want to speak with you just a little while this morning. How do we cope with spiritual erosion? How do we cope with spiritual erosion? I suppose as we think about the things that we have to face each day, we find that unless we have a strong relationship, a good relationship, a solid relationship with God, then it seems that those things that we go through and those people that we have to be around, those situations that we find ourselves in, are able to pull us away from that relationship that we should have with God. Some of the things that we do, some of the places we go, some of the acts that we perform are outside of the will of God. And it's important that we recognize that we do know the will of God. We know what it is that God wants of us. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. Well, we don't have to have somebody come and tell you, well, you should not have done that. We knew when we were doing it, when we're in the middle of the act, that it was a wrong thing to do. We know what the will of God is. As a matter of fact, if we look at the Old Testament almost in its entirety is just telling us what God appreciates, what God loves, what God does not like. If we read through there, we'll find how God handled different situations and what he considered of those who did the things that we saw happening in the Old Testament. We saw what he appreciated and we saw the things that he would not have us to do. So we know what the will of God is, and we look at it, and somehow we look at that, and we say, well, oh, yeah, the Old Testament, I suppose that's the law and the prophets. And well, we've sort of put that to the side now, Pastor Stenger, because we're not living under the law. We're living under grace. But back when, if we look closely, we'll see that the things that Jesus tells us we ought to be doing, and the things that he lets us know that he died for, were all of those, there was the fact that those sins that we committed, and those sins that the world was so wrapped up in, God hated it so much. He hated those things that the world was doing and the way that we were going so much. He wanted a relationship with us. And he could not have a relationship with us while we were covered with sin. And the only way to clean up all of that sin, all of that that he hated so much, was to send Jesus into the world. His only begotten Son came into the world. Jesus came into the world because God hated sin. Jesus came into the world because God wanted to have a relationship with us. Jesus came into the world to suffer because all those sins and all that was happening then and even happening now, all of that sin kept us from being able to have the relationship with God. And so somehow that sin had to be washed away and all of those things had to be paid for. And so out on a cross at Calvary, all of those sins that God hated so much, still hates, all those things that were outside of God's will, Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for those sins. Those sins, God still hates those things. We can't say, well, that's the old thing. Oh, no, that's the way it used to be. All those things in the Old Testament, that's old school now. No, no, those are the things that God hates. And somehow as we go back and find ourselves getting involved in some of those things and doing things that are outside of the will of God, we find ourselves eroding that relationship that God wants to have with us. I suppose it's kind of difficult maybe to continue to hold on to God's hand, as we were saying, and to have that relationship when we find ourselves in a world that seems to be going so far away from what the Lord would have us to do. When you live in an environment where the people are doing things that are outside of God's will, you have to try to stand aside and move away from some of those things. We go back in the scripture and we'll find that there are many times as we look into the Old Testament, there were examples, there were places where somebody had to live in an environment that was outside of God's will, but they wanted to live and walk according to his will anyhow. Well, we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somehow when they were carried away, they weren't at home anymore. They didn't have folks around them who were praising God along with them. Those who were around them were a little bit afraid of the situation they were in. And the things that they found themselves doing were things that those who were around them felt was the right things to do. Those in Babylon, they were living a different lifestyle. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were told that they needed to bow down to a golden idol just because the king wanted them to do that, they tell me that it was gold and it was so tall that you could see it from almost anywhere in the city. And they said, now when the music starts, they don't have to do this all the time. I just want you to step away from your tradition a little bit and from your God just a little while. And when you hear that trumpet, I want you to bow down to that idol over. I know you got your own God, but when you hear the music, I want you to bow down to the golden idol. And so I guess those children of Israel who were there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, we can do that for a couple of minutes. How long is the music going to play? We can bow down to that golden idol, and after that's done, we can get back to doing the things that we know. Be all right. Wait a minute. Now, I'm going to give you another chance. I want to ask that when the music plays, you recognize what it is that I said and how serious I am about it. Because the rule is now, here's the rule. I want you to just know this. When the music plays, I want you to bow down to that idol, Lord. Sometimes you find yourself in situations where it's hard to do that. You find, well, as I said, they would only have to bow down for a few moments. And they were not willing to do it. We find in many places that there are other places in the scripture where we find people just, all they had to do is just for a little while, just change things for a little while. They tell me that with Daniel, he only had to stop praying to God for 1 month. Mm-hmm. And the rule came out that anybody who prays to anybody other than to the king here for the next month, only 30 days. We just got, you can do this 30 days. 30 days. Daniel knew about the rule, but that didn't keep him from bowing down and turning his face toward Jerusalem 3 times a day. With his window open, folks could see that he was praying to God. He didn't mind because he was going to do the will of God, even in that environment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in that environment, said they would not bow down. Daniel said in that environment he would not bow down. Somehow it seems that when we were given an opportunity to do God's will or to go outside of God's will for just a moment to do something that goes along with society, with the two willing, I'm reminded also of King Ahab. He married a woman from Phoenicia. A queen. She wasn't a queen at the time, but when she came and married him, she became the queen of the northern kingdom. And somehow, as she came bringing her own religion. And somehow, she wanted the folks to pray to Baal. And so somehow, this required a situation. You see, somehow this marriage had already been arranged. They tell me Ahab didn't really decide this was going to be who he married. His father decided that and was working with the people over there to try to make it all come together so these two nations could be strong together. This should work out okay. Well, now it's got a situation. You see, we are the children of Israel here, and we're praising God and recognizing him as our God. And now here comes the queen, and she wants us to praise Baal. We can't do that, can we? Well, Ahab decided that they could do that. They started building temples, and they had temples of Baal there. They still had places for those who were on the Lord's side to pray. But there was a compromise. That meant you could pray to one or pray to both or pray to either. Somehow God went that way. You see, God says that we serve just him. The only one we should be bowing down to is him. Only one we should serve is him. They found themselves in that situation. You know the story. As it went on, we find that Elijah came and let them know that it couldn't be that way. Elijah let them know, and somehow it seemed that even though they had to go through an awful lot, it turns out that eventually everybody knew that our God is God. Our God is God. Somehow it seems that if we look back there, we say, well, that's the way it was then. I'm sure glad we don't have to go through that kind of stuff. I'm sure glad that we don't have that difficulty in trying to serve God. We know the will of God, and here we're all here right now. We're here because of the will of God. We want to come and praise him and lift his name. Isn't it good that we can just come here in this place and praise God? But you know what? We've got a situation as well. Because now we're finding that the will of God is not always considered to be correct. The will of God is not always considered to be a power. I think because of the fact that we're not under the law means we don't have to be worried about the punishment from God. And that's what's changed. You see, we're still living under the law, in fact, but we're under the penalty of law. I say we're under the will because somehow the things that God would have us to do are still the things God would have us to do. But if we walk outside of his will, the fact that we're living under grace now, we don't have to worry about the punishment. Jesus has already died to pay for all those sins. What a confusing situation we're in right now. We can sin because Jesus died for us, but the sin that we're committing is against the will of God. Somehow we look at where we are and what we have to recognize that what we need to do now is not do what God would have us to do because of fear, because of what he can do and what he would do to us if had it not been for Jesus. We don't do it that. We do it because of the love for him. We've got to love God enough to want to walk according to his will. We've got to love God enough to know that we won't be punished necessarily for the things that we do wrong, but we're going to be able to live through the situations because Jesus died for us. He wants us to live according to his will. Not because of fear, but because of love. Walk according to God's will because of his love. Look at what the Lord has done for us. We were on our way to hell. There was no way for us to get through it or out of it. But somehow Jesus came and died on the cross for us. I'm so thankful to the Lord. So thankful for his love. I can't help but love the Lord. I want to come and I want to praise him and thank him for what he's done and what he's doing in my life. I want to thank him for the situations he brings me through. There's so much that the Lord has done for me and continues to do for me that I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And because I love him, I want to do his will. I want to walk according to his will. So those things that we find that are going on around us that are outside of God's will, we need to do everything we can to avoid getting involved in those. So what should we do now? We're living in a world where we find that some of the things that we consider, recognize that there are things going on around us that would pull us down to where Satan would have us to be, but we need to hold on to God's hand. That relationship has to get stronger and stronger. The more he brings us through, the more he brings us out, the more he changes situations, the more we recognize what a good friend he is, the more we realize that this is a relationship that grows stronger every day, and we need to embrace that relationship. We need to do his blessed will. do what God would have us to do. Walk according to the will of God. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor. It starts off by telling you the first thing you got to do is recognize the word. We know the word. We know what it is that God would have us to do. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to walk according to his will. We need to not allow the world or the environment that we're in to allow us to do things that are outside of the will of God. I'm going to walk the way he would have me to walk. I want to live the way he would have me to live. No matter what the multitudes may say, no matter what the votes might be, I know my God. I know what he loves. I know what he hates. I know that he's there for me. And as Reverend Smith said, it's so good to just hold on to his hand. Hold on to a friend like that. Think about that, holding on to the powerful hand, the loving hand of the God of the universe, the one who created all things, blows the mountains up, dug out the sea, put the stars in the sky. That powerful God wants a relationship with each one of us. And we can demonstrate that we want a part of that relationship by continuing to walk and live according to his will. Somehow the will of God seems to be out of the minds of so many people, but it's in my mind. It's in my heart. I hope it's in your heart. We need to think about what it is we're doing to make certain that we're walking and living according to his will. Let us talk to God. Our Father and our loving God, we thank you so much for the love you continue to show us. Father, we who are here recognize how important it is that we serve you and that we live according to your will. But we know, Father, we live in an environment now, in a world now, even in a nation now, where somehow we find that walking outside of your will has become the normal thing. Walking outside of your will seems to not be a part of so many lives. We're asking, Father, that not only that it be a part of us right now, but that desire to do your will grows and grows within us. And that we recognize that even though we have to live in an environment where those who are around us are not doing your will, we need to hold on to your unchanging hand. Help us, Father, to be strong in the Lord, to be strong enough to hold on to you, to hold on to the values that we know that you've put in our hearts. Father, we know that somehow we need to pass on what we know to our young people so that they can someone who wants to accept that salvation that Jesus died to provide, someone who wants to have an eternal relationship with God. Or maybe now there's someone who's already said yes to the Lord, but you said yes and you're in a different place. You said yes and you have not been able to fulfill all the promises that you made when you were in that place. If that's you and you would like to become a part of this church family and become a part of helping us to become what God would have us to be. Help us to grow stronger as a church by using all those gifts and those talents and all the special things that God has given to you. To use all of those things to help us to accomplish what he would have us to accomplish here at First Mount Island. Is there someone who would like to come? My Lord.